بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحسن إذا شئت سهلا. We start with, inshallah, from Kitab Umdat al-Fiqh, a kitab that we are already teaching at Global Islamic Youth Center. We are up to halfway through Kitab al-Salat. But since Ramadan is approaching, we thought, inshallah, we start with Kitab al-Siyam, chapter of fasting, and we study from a reputable kitab, which is Umdat al-Fiqh, which is one of the best fiqh books for beginners and intermediates in the field of fiqh. Of course, we'll be following the book mas'ala by mas'ala, issue by issue, matter by matter, as Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi mentioning in his book. Remember, ya ikhwa, that any ibadah has to be based on knowledge. Whether it's salat, whether it's zakat, whether it's fasting, hajj, you need to have the knowledge of that ibadah that you are going to perform. Umar radiallahu anhu, as you know, when someone intended to open, or someone intends to open business inside the markets in Medina, he would make sure they studied the chapter of zakat. He would know the masail, the issues of zakat, and the masail, issues of riba, so he doesn't fall into them. So when we want to perform a ibadah, we can't just inherit. And Ramadan, or fasting in general, has more than just having the intention a night before and fasting from sunrise to sunset. There are many issues that would come up in fasting, whether if you're bleeding, if you're vomited, for women, if they get the menses and so on, and how do I do qada of siyam, and so on. So that is why it is important to understand all these issues. If dust went into my mouth, have I broken my fast? I work in the building industry, and they smashed down a wall, and all the dust came through my eyes, my mouth, my nose, my ears. Am I still fasting? I can taste it, smell it. So what happens? Of course, learning principles, your answer becomes easy. You don't need anyone after that to give you the answer. You yourself would know the answer through the principles you learned within this chapter, inshallah. So, and that is what distinguishes a student from someone who just seek a fatwa. Pick up the phone, Sheikh, this happened. What is the answer? The answer is a fatwa. He tells you this is what is the answer. But if you know the principles, then you are on your way to become a student of knowledge. So inshallah, we're planning to finish this course, or this, in about 5 to 6 weeks. We're planning to do zakat and siyam, but time is not enough for us to do zakat and siyam. We just do straight into the chapter of siyam. Now, huwa yaqul rahimahullah kitab al-siyam, chapter of fasting. What does the word siyam means in the language? In the Arabic language, means to withhold imsak, yani to abstain. And as Maryam said, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا what? أَلَّا أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّا. I have took a vow that I will not speak to human being at all, or to any human being. That means Maryam, she fasted from talking. And that is called fasting, which is al-imsak, to abstain from. In our Sharia, because the Sharia of the nations before us, the fasting was different than us. In our Sharia, the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal of all the Shara'i', at-ta'abbudu lillahi bil-imsaki anil muftirati min tulu'i al-fajri ila ghurubi al-shams. It is, the definition of siyam is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abstaining from whatever considered as muftir. Muftir means nullifies the fasting from sunrise to sunset. Right? To abstain from al-muftirat. Now, of course, it is the third pillar of Islam. And whomever denies fasting means they say such a thing is fasting. Of course, with the agreement of all the ummah, is a kafir. He's belying the Quran and Sunnah. But someone who does not fast, he is upon major sin. He is upon what? Major sin. He's a fasiq, wal-iyadu billah. And it gets worse when he decides to eat on the street. to show everyone he's sitting in a restaurant eating. It gets worse as a person with no shame in their face. طيب. Of course, the virtue of fasting generally, not only Ramadan, the virtue of fasting is many. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in that specific ibadah a lot of virtues. طيب. And there is a door in the Jannah for the Sa'imin, ismuhu, its name wa Ar-Rayyan. Specifically for the people who fast so much. Here يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم واللفظ لمسلم. He said in the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كل عمل ابن آدم يضاعف الحسنة عشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف إلى 700 ضعف. قال الله عز وجل إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به يدع شهوته وطعامه من أجلي. Here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, every deed of the son of Adam is for him. طيب, every deed of son of Adam, it is multiplied. The hasana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiply it to 10 or sometimes to 700. طيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, illa sawm, except fasting, it is for me and I reward for it. What does it mean, I reward for it? Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the generous, he's saying, I reward, that means it has a different reward. It's like you, someone done a job for you. Your father comes to give him $200 for the job. You say, Dad, no, leave him, it's for me, I'll fix him up. And you are a very, very wealthy man. طيب, here he expect what? A big lump sum of payment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أنا أجزي به, don't expect it from the Kareem except enormous abundance of generosity. He said, يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Shuf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the one who fasts. Shuf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he described him. Such a beautiful description. He abandons what? شَهْوَتَهُ, his desire, and his food for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the son of Adam, one of his main desires is what? The food. And whatever he does with his wife. So these two desires, which is the reality, the desire of mankind, left for whom? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the best of, yani he is the best in reward. And another hadith also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, للصائم فرحتان فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه ولا خلوف فيه أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. He said, for the one who fasts is two farha. The farha when he breaks his fast. Shaykh, subhanallah, Ramadan is coming around the corner, but the iftar around about 5 o'clock. But when it is 8 o'clock, you can imagine the farha in the heat and the summer. You see, cling next to the radio. In Lebanon, not like here, we wait for the matfa'. They have a cannon. They blow the cannon, wow. Straight away to the water. And the hashash, straight away to the cigar. The hashash, it's a day before Salat al-Maghrib. Yalla, cigar. The one, shuf, subhanallah, he leaves his food for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're only happy when you eat. Shuf, the son of Adam. I want you to reflect on this, how the human beings, how nafsu dani'a, yani we low sometimes. You could see when you make the table, you put all different kind of food. That's why you're always broken Ramadan. Don't ever go to Woolies or down to Lakemba if you're fasting, because you always buy things you don't need. Subhanallah, people are fasting in the shops, and they tell you it's our season. They sell so much, they make money as much as the whole year. But you're not supposed to eat that much. And when you see, you eat a little bit of dates, a little bit of water, you pray and come back, you eat a bit and you're full. But we like to eat more and more and more and more until you can't breathe anymore. And you can't even go to Taraweeh. Subhanallah. When you go to Taraweeh, you feel the food's going to come out of your nose. The kibbin and the knafeh and everything is going to, you feel it in your mouth. and then it comes out burning out of your nose. But here, Achi, eat lightly. Do not excessively eat, and eat into proportions. Yes, no one said don't eat, but into small proportions throughout the night. Not eat everything at once. وَفَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ And a happiness when he meets his Lord. If you're fasting, you are, subhanAllah, you come with all this fasting to your Lord. If you're sincere with it, this is the farha. Why are you going to be happy? Because you're going to witness the reward that Allah is going to give you because of what you have done and fasted and you were patient in this dunya. And then the hadith said, وَلَا خَلُوفُ فِيهِ يعني, the smell of his mouth أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ It is nicer in the sight of Allah than the smell of musk. Of course, some brothers, they ask, Sheikh, can I brush my teeth in Ramadan? Or can I use the siwak? I say, of course you can use the siwak, but be careful, don't eat those little bits that come out of it. And if you are brushing your teeth, do not exaggerate it, just a little bit to brush your teeth. He said, but the smell going to go, yeah, Sheikh, and I want to keep it so it is a smell of musk. We say, here, you do not have to work hard on it, just... If you need to clean your teeth, there is no problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this smell, anyway, which is going to come out, it is like the smell of musk, subhanallah al-azim. Tayyib. Here, very quickly, akhwa, before, because as we said, this is not a book of manners, but there are some issues. Yani it's a book of fasting, not a book of etiquettes. So, but it's very important we understand that what is the aim behind fasting? The aim behind fasting to slow you down in this dunya. Meaning, to slow down a little bit. To slow down and start reflecting on yani, the reality of mankind. That mankind without the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing. And there are and how much you are fortunate. Look, till today, subhanallah, till today, look Allah, how much He blessed you. With food, and in Ramadan you buy the sweets and the fruits and everything. Imagine there are people who cannot afford a fraction of what you can afford. Remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to break his date and used to break his fast on date and water, not what you break your fast on today. And this probably his iftar till next Ramadan and the companions with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is for you to reflect, but the reality is it has to appear on you. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ حَظُّهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ حَظُّهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ السَّهَرُ Hadith, a destructive hadith. Here he said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ Maybe a sa'im, a person who is a sa'im, يعني his fasting. His share from his fasting, hunger and thirst. And a qa'im, someone who prays qiyamul layl, the tarawih, but what he gets from it is just to stay up. Yani no reward. No reward. Of course, how do you lose your fasting? You lose your fasting by losing your temper quickly in Ramadan. By not abandoning the evil acts that you normally do, like perving. Brother, wallah, I can't control myself, bro. And you can't see all this and not... I can't, I'm single. You're fasting, taqillah. In Ramadan, ya ikhwa, in Ramadan, especially if you're living in a society which is not only Australia, all over the world, except the few spots that Allah bestowed mercy upon where they don't see these things. Ya ikhwa, in Ramadan, go out less. Meaning you don't need to spend, as some sisters and brothers, they reduce the work, but you find them shopping around. No, stay at home, read the Quran. Don't put yourself in that circle where you're going to fall into the haram by looking at haram. Remain at home. The sister, ya ammi, remain at home. You don't need to go out. They spend all day in the shopping, especially if they are invited, so they don't have to cook. Ahmed, she doesn't have to cook. So what does she do? She goes to Bankstown, Westfield, and she spends the whole day there. 2 hours, she ring her husband, Habibi, do you want me to buy 2 kilo knefe? I'll take to my mother's with me, or to your father with me, to your My mother-in-law, she passed by, she buys 2 kilos of knefeh and she goes, that's a gift. Why? She doesn't have to cook today. That is not the... If you don't have to cook, say Alhamdulillah, sit down and read Quran. Sit down and read Quran. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can't fast because you have an excuse, my sister in Islam, then sit down and read Quran. You want an opinion, you can't read the Quran in the menses, sit down and say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar, Wa la ilaha illallah. Listen to Quran. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali, and so on. Make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to lectures. Do something that is considered in the frame of the sharia to be what? Ibadah. To be what? Ibadah. But don't waste your time. Otherwise, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sa'im, hadhuhu min siyamihi al-ju'u wal-atash. Or backbiting. Some people, they fast, we wish they adhere also to the fasting of Maryam, which is, أَلَّا أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ. I do not speak to human. You know why? Because a lot of the brothers and sisters, as soon as they open their mouth, they manage to talk about someone. In Ramadan, reduce that. Do not talk about anyone. You're not meant to anyway, but in Ramadan, more specific. Do not fall into the haram. Avoid waste of time. You do not know how precious is your time in Ramadan, ya ikhwan. Avoid waste of time, because your time is so restricted and so precious. So do not waste your time in rubbish and idle talk, furi, whatever. No. Abandon all that in the month of Ramadan. He said, Al-ju'u wal-atash, and he does qiyamul layl, but he is not what? Waking up for Fajr nor Isha. You see, the brother, he doesn't wake up for Salat al-Fajr. Or he doesn't wake up for Salat, or he doesn't make it for Isha in the Jama'ah, but he makes it for Taraweeh. What is more important? Fajr and Isha in Jama'ah or Taraweeh? Fajr and Isha. طيب. So don't waste your time in the month of fasting. طيب. Here he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Whomever does not abandon the saying of falsehood and acting upon it, Allah in no need for him to abandon eating and drinking. What is قول الزور? Lying, backbiting, slander, cursing the Muslims. What is the false actions? Delaying the salat, dealing with haram, eating riba, listening to music. That is all what? Actions of haram. Brother is fasting and is still selling pot. An oxymoron. Why? Brother, business is business. That's got nothing to do with it. You love the with it, not with it, with it. يا حبيبي اتق الله. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not deal in haram, and do not do haram in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. And becomes more specific in Ramadan. Abandon cigarette. It's a month that you can abandon the cigarette with it. Leave the haram altogether. And qawl al-zur, to say falsehood, to lie, to cheat. A brother still in Ramadan, and he's fasting, yet he still lie and cheat. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs it from him to abstain from eating and drinking. Also, another important point before we move on, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Surat Al-A'raf, verse 31, eat and drink, but not in excess or extravagance. Meaning, يا أخي, اتق الله of what you buy, and اتق الله with the food that you use. Every one of us, we spend excessively and we put excessively food on the table in Ramadan, and we do not end up eating most of it. Until in Saudi Arabia, someone came up with this idea, subhanallah, that the allocated vans, they go around the houses picking up the leftover food and they take it to the poor families inside Saudi. That's how much people have food in excess in Ramadan. They only operate in Ramadan. Because they invite all these people, the mansaf is still as it is, half of it not touched, three quarter of it not touched. The sweets, this and that. Abundance of food, but no one uses it. So these people come around in a van, they pick it up and they take it and distribute it to the poor and the needy family. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember what you're doing. And learn to cook enough. Five people coming over, your family is five, make food enough for five. And wallahi, if we don't learn this, because some of us feel shy, say, La ya akhi, we're putting too much food on the table, we have to show that we're generous. Yes, you show you're generous, but do not make too much food, or if there is going to be left over, there'll be your iftar for next day. There'll be what? Your iftar next day. And I finalize before I enter with the chapter of fasting, what Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi said, fear Allah in your wife. Fear Allah in your wife. How is that? You see the brother, when Ramadan comes, the sister says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. His father must come. طيب, his father, birr al-walidayn. His mother must come. His brothers must come. His uncles must come. The whole family must know that he is welcoming them. Of course, to feed someone, to break the fast of someone, you get his reward. But think of your wife. Is your wife handling this? Is she getting support? You are helping her, or you act like a king and you walk away like a king. All day you don't do anything at work. We know you go to the workshop and you touch nothing, fasting. You come acting like you've been tired. You put your head on the pillow, you wake up before, and your parents come, you invite them. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one said you don't invite your family. No one invite that you do not. وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. But see whether this woman is handling this or it's affecting her ibadah. Because when the month of Ramadan comes, she needs her time to worship Allah too. If she's all day shopping and all afternoon cooking, and once she breaks her fast with you, then she needs to clean all night. When does she do her tarawih and tahajjud? You either help her, or mashallah, if you're generous, go buy some takeaway food. Order something. Unless you can't afford it, that's a different story. Then, yeah, antar, you get up and help your wife. Don't leave her alone, haram. Because she wants to do ibadah. She end up with no ibadah. She probably end up missing fajr altogether. Because she could not stand on her feet in the next day. And she's what, weak like you. And she's a human being like you. And Ramadan is a month for ibadah for her too. She has sins to expiate and you have sins to expiate. So before you invite anyone, and no one says you should not because it's a sunnah, no one said you should not, but think how many people and what is the capability of my wife. Also, think about it. Don't do one after one after one after one. Say, no, before the last 10 days. No. Think about it properly. Put a program. Put a program. Who you're going to invite from the family. And see how you can provide support to your wife. Tayyib. Also understand that if she needs help, then you need to help that wife, help that woman in what she's doing. Even if it means you buy something, take away just to help her, not to spend all her day in the kitchen and all her night in the kitchen, so she can do ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if that you hear the adhan on the radio station, can you break your fast? Surely you can break your fast. If it is trustworthy radio station, not some radio station where they have it pre-programmed and makes the adhan half an hour early and they come out next day and say, well, sorry, the computer stuffed up because there was no one to press the button, so it pressed the button by itself. So be careful, but at the same time, taharra, and do not go to extreme in the issue, because some people, they end up waiting and they see the sun. Of course, when the sun sets, you can still see a lot of light. So do not think that it has to totally disappear, because normally then you become like the Shia. The Shia wait for the stars to appear. And it is the trait of the Yahud, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they delay what? Breaking their fast. Here he said, rahmatullahi alayhi, yajibu siyamu ramadan ala kulli muslimin balighin aqilin qadirin ala sawm. Here he said, it is obligatory to fast Ramadan. He said fasting in Ramadan is mandatory upon every sane adult who is capable of fasting. So here, he put conditions. He said it is first obligatory, which is Siyam Ramadan is what? Obligatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185. Whomever from amongst you witnesses the month, what does it mean? يعني Ramadan enters upon him whilst he is Muslim, baligh, aqil, and able to fast. So, first, the month of Ramadan has to arrive. You can't fast Ramadan outside Ramadan, you have to fast Ramadan in the month of Ramadan. طيب, another condition, a Muslim, a kafir, he doesn't have to fast. Kafir, he does not have to fast Ramadan. But he will be judged for not fasting in the hereafter. The kafir in the hereafter, according to the correct opinion, that not only he'll be judged about not accepting Tawheed, he'll be judged because he did not pray, and he did not pay zakah, and he did not fast Ramadan, and he did not do Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ And the ayah moved to say, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ What has led you into Saqar? They said, we entered Saqar because we did not pray. And towards the end, Allah said in a few verses, and we used to belie in the Day of Judgment. Of course, belying Day of Judgment is enough to make someone a kafir or not. Yet, but they were punished for not praying. So the correct opinion that the kafir is punished for what? For every ibadah that the Muslim obligated with. So on top of the punishment, not accepting Tawheed, why you didn't fast? Allah will punish him for that. Type. Can they fast in this dunya and not be a Muslim? Like for example, a brother married to a Christian girl, Ahlul Kitab. She says, Wallah, my husband is fasting. I want to fast with him. Say it's good diet for you, but this sahih fasting is not accepted. Huh? No, of course, and it's not accepted to begin with. So, from Muslim, baligh has to have reached the age of puberty. What is the age of puberty? For male, three signs. What is it? Wet dream, pubic hair, or reaching the age of 15. One of the three is good enough to make him baligh. For the woman, you add this three or number four, menstruation. She menstruates. So if she is at the age of 11 and menstruated, she has to fast and pray and wear the hijab. Araf. That is for the women. For the men are three signs of bulugh. For the women are four signs of bulugh. Aqil, sane. A crazy person does not have to fast. A crazy person or someone, he's insane, he does not have to fast. Qadirin ala siyam, able to fast. Meaning, az-zamin, the old man who has a chronic disease, he does not have to fast because he's not able. A pregnant woman who is fearing for her own safety or the safety of the child, she does not have to fast. A diabetic person who has a very bad case of diabetes, he does not have to fast even if he is young. So what are the conditions of fasting? Apart from entering the month, what? Muslim? Baligh? Aqil, able to fast. Able to fast. طيب. Of course, this is what the consensus of Al-Ummah. يعني all the Muslims have agreed on this. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِهِ الصَّبِيُّ إِذَا أَطَاقَهُ He said, a child should be ordered to fast when he can tolerate it. نعم. Here, the Bukhari and Muslim narrated that the companions used to make the young boys fast on the day of Ashura, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to fast. فَكَانُوا إِذَا بَكَى الصَّبِيِّ And when the kid started, يعني, cries, they used to, wanting food, they used to give him a toy to play with until he finished fasting. Of course, here making the child fast, every parent should know the ability of the child. You can start him up to fast 3 hours. If you see the child trying to get dizzy or crying or he has a problem, now do not force the child into fasting. But if he's able, you excite him a little bit. Normally by the age of 7 or age of 10, they are, yani 8, 9, 10, they are start to fast. If they're kids and you know the body of your son, mashallah, if he's 60 kilos while he's 10 year old, khali fast, maybe he lose a few kilos. But you know he's able, he's not able, but make him fast, give him a reward. Tell him, look, if you fast, I'll give you $5 for every day. Eid comes and you're broke. Tayyib, or $3 or whatever you can afford, and when Eid comes, you give him some money. Just a little note, when Eid comes, for God's sake, take the children and show them good time. Eh? Don't just take them to your mother and your grandmother and your grandsister and your grandfather. And then by the time the day Eid comes, next day he has to go to school and he hasn't had any fun. And it's the most depressing day. And then he sees a Christmas, lights everywhere, and then he wants to celebrate Christmas. No, when Eid comes, show your son, show your daughter, show your children good time and let them see some good time and be happy, because that is the day of Eid. And take him to the toy shop and let him spend his money. I remember when we used to be young, when we get a lot of idea, we fill our pocket and then we can't spend any. Then you're miserable all month of all day of Eid. You want to buy all the toys? Let him buy the toys. Let him break it. Let him smash it. Let him feel happy. If that makes him happy, let him be happy. Do not make him miserable. And let him look forward for the next Eid and to smash more toys. There's no problem. Reality, ya shabab. Teach, yani, let them be happy. If that makes them happy, alhamdulillah, let them be happy. Let them break the toys. So what? The toys are there to be broken, because businesses need to make money. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِهِ. And order the kid and always train him to fast Ramadan. Here are the controversial issues. We're going to start. Bismillah. He said, وَيَجِبُ بِأَحَدِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ وَيَجِبُ بِأَحَدِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. Fasting becomes mandatory when one of these three things occurs. What the Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi saying? That fasting Ramadan becomes obligatory if one of these three signs occurs. The starting of the month of Ramadan. Kamalu Sha'ban. The completion of 30 days of the Islamic month, Sha'ban. Yani once Sha'ban becomes 30 days, next day is Ramadan, khalas. We don't differ about that. Tayyib. And then he said, وَرُؤْيَةُ هِلَالِ رَمَضَانِ. And to see the hilal of Ramadan, and we'll talk about it. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, muttafaq alayhi, agreed upon, سُومُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ وَأَفْتِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ فَإِنْ غَبِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعْبَان 30. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Abu Huraira, fast when you see it, which is the hilal of Ramadan, and unfast when you see it, and when it is covered up on you, yani you cannot see it, then complete the iddah 30. Now, here he said, وَرُؤْيَةُ هِلَالِ رَمَضَانِ, when you see the hilal. So, of course we all know, alhamdulillah, in Australia, we have always, every year, the same problem. And I tell you now, I have no solution for you. I have no solution for you. What I have a solution for you is remove all these leaders and put new ones. Like, that's the only solution, because it's not working. In reality, I've been into so many meetings with the respected mashayikh, they cannot yani agree. What you have today, three different ways of starting and finishing the month of Ramadan. We have a group of people who say, we take the calculation, if the astronomers say Ramadan is XYZ date, yani, or the hilal is born on XYZ date, then khalas, we start Ramadan regardless. You have another opinion that says, we look into Australia, through the boundaries of Australia, including Tasmania, if we spot it, we fast. We don't spot it, we don't fast. And we have another group of people say, we look in Australia and the surrounding countries around Australia. يعني أني قطر من الأقطار. What did the Salaf say? The Salaf differed, the ulama. When you open the books of ulama, you find two opinions. The first opinion, which is اختلاف المطالع, and another opinion توحيد المطالع. What is اختلاف المطالع؟ المطلع is where the moon is comes up. يعني some scholars they say yes, it is. It could appear. For example, if you are in Lebanon, you are in Egypt, there is two different مطلع. You can see it there, and or you can see it there. Whomever sees it, he fasts. طيب, the ulama said, طيب, if I seen it in Egypt, does the people of Lebanon have to follow me? That opinion says no. These people have their own and you have your own. You keep looking, you see khalas. The second opinion says, matla wahid, if the people of Egypt see it, then the people of Lebanon has to fast. Why? Because there's only one moon and one way of looking at it. But the reality of the matter, no one, and this is intibih, no one really from the ulama spoke about a global sighting. Tawheed al-matla, what does it mean? Ya'ni, for example, 15, 16 countries next to each other, small countries, or 3-4 countries like Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, al-Urdun, Bilad al-Sham, it's seen there. Let's say they've seen it in Palestine. Somehow, all the people around the area heard, khalas, this is what they call one matla. You see, that is the second opinion. This is what we say, Australia and the surrounding countries. Like Jakarta, Indonesia, Malaysia, if they cite it, not if they calculate it. Yeah. Araft. That is the two differences of opinion. And you have the modern opinion who said, no, we calculate. Those astronomers, they now have a very accurate calculation. But is that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us? Bil ijma', and mentioned the ijma' Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, and Ibn Abdul Barr, and many ulama, they said, all of them agreed that taken by calculation is not allowed. We haven't got the cloud, you know, we're saying real scene. The calculation is not allowed Islamically. Why? Because al-ibadah says for you to see it. They might call you backward or reversewood or whatever. Tell the person who said you are backward, you take my calculation, tell him, why do you wash up to the elbows? Yani, if I wash a little bit above the elbows, my wudu isn't accepted. Taib, I don't want to do 7 time lapses around the Kaaba. I'll do 6 laps. Why my is not accepted? Why if I'm doing sa'i bain as-safa wal-marwa, if I am one step, I stop one step before the Safa and I leave and I don't continue, what happens then? Why the ulama said I have to sleep in Mina and on the borderline I cannot sleep behind? Why? Why I can't? Why it's not accepted? Logically, you're backward. Why? Because one step extra and one step back, what is the difference going to make? But heck, the argument, that's the same thing. The person who tells you, do you have to see it with your own eye? We say, wallah, this is a ibadah and this is a ibadah. Allah ta'abbadna, Allah want us to worship Him by looking and sighting the moon with our eyes. Now, someone, this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Nahnu ummatun ummiyya." We are an lettered ummah. La naqra'u wa la naktub. We don't read and write. What does it mean, we don't read and write? Not that we don't learn how to read and write. Majority of us don't read and write, and they're not very well educated. طيب. He said, "Ash-shahru indana hakadha wa hakadha." The month, according to us, 29 or 23 or 30, pointing with his fingers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب, what do we understand? I wanted to look at this, the heart of this hadith. The heart of this hadith is to make it easy upon you. Yani, you are by yourself in the desert. You are by yourself in the bush. You live by yourself. Without any help of no one, you can sight the moon and fast and unfast. That's how easy is issue of our Sharia. You stand there and you sight. Where is, you learn where the moon is, appears. You've seen it, khalas, alhamdulillah, you start your month of Ramadan. You don't see it, you continue and you finish the iddah, 30 days of Sha'ban. It's not meant to be hard anyway. The Sharia of Islam in the issues of ibadat came very easy. Even in the issue of aqaid, very easy. When you read Allah al-Alim, al-Sami' al-Kareem, khalas, you understand. Allah hears everything, Allah sees everything, Allah. But people made it, philosophy and affirming and not affirming attributes, made it hard. While the Sharia came to be easy. Same thing. The salat is not meant to be hard. You know why? Because when you put the sundial to check the time, according to the sun, the sharia, if it is 1 millimeter extra the shade or less, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish anyone? Why? Because the sharia made it easy. Because you can never be accurate 100% like the watch when you measure the shade. It's never going to be 100% accurate. The sharia wanted easy for you. Doesn't want to make it hard for you. Take an example in Ramadan. You put before as-suhur, you put the bit of food in your mouth and the adhan calls. The ulama said, swallow it, khalas. We'll talk about it later. Some brothers put his hand in his finger and want to vomit everything. La la, akhi. The sharia never came to make it hard for you. The sharia came to make these things easy for you. Shif subhanallah al-azim. But unfortunately, us, we make it hard. And I tell you, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to see how some of us are so rigid in the issue of ibadah, he will never be pleased with what we're doing. Because we become rigid in little things, and the main thing that we're supposed to be hard on, we're relaxing on it. War about which opinion we take, but majority of the mashayikh solved some of the most important issues of our deen and aqidah. But war when it comes to issue which opinion we take. They're dividing the ummah about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going, some of these mashayikh, Allah going to hold them responsible that brother and sister, one of them is with jama'at al-tabligh and the other one he's not with jama'at al-tabligh. One, he does Eid one day and the other one Eid one day. And the father and the son fighting about this issue. He's a student of that sheikh and the one a student of the other sheikh. Sit down and work it out. Khalsuni. You want to work out the whole Israel and you can't work out the moon sighting. Ittaqullah fil nas. But unfortunately, this is how it is. And everyone says, I'm right and the other one is wrong. Al-Muhim, there are two opinions, ya akhwa. There are two opinions. And this is a mas'ala of ijtihad. Mas'ala of ijtihad. Since it is mas'ala of ijtihad, issue of ijtihad, from these two opinions, then we take one of the two opinions and we adopt one of the two opinions and we move upon it. And that's what we should be following. Here we'll talk about if someone sees the moon by himself, we'll come to talk about it, inshallah. But if he sees the hilal, yani by himself. So, the two opinions are either matla', which is, for example, in Australia and surrounding countries, or the opinion in Australia. Now you might ask, which one is the more correct? Both of them are ijtihad, and both of them have proofs. But the correct opinion is for both sides to come to an agreement. We take that opinion or that opinion, this opinion or that opinion. But what is wrong, and we agreed upon, is you do not take by calculation. And anyone who does take by calculation should not be followed with the ijma' al-ummah. If you can prove that he is following calculation, tayyib. One would say a question. He says, how come you take the calculation of the calendar for the salat and you do not take the calculation for Ramadan? That's the main misconception they raise. Subhanallah, al-Imam Al-Qarafi in his book Al-Furuq, The Differences, he's got a book, it's called The Differences. He spoke about this and he's one of the great Imams of Fiqh and he's from the Maliki Madhab, but yet he was a great Imam of Fiqh who died around about 700 Hijri. He spoke about it. He said the issue of the time of the Salat, we ordered to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made entering the time a condition for the ibadah. But the other one, he made citing the timing ibadah. And that's why in Ramadan you have to cite, and this is a ibadah on its own. The other one, he told you when the time comes. That is the difference between the two, you see. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam specifically told us the hadith what? To see it. Now, can you use aids, yani telescope or binoculars? The scholars said, Allahu A'lam, the modern scholars, and it's correct opinion that yes, you can use binoculars because you're still seeing it with your own eyes. So the hilal of Ramadan has to be established by sighting it. And that sheikh who goes there mock the people who go on the hills to watch it. Allah al-musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either take him or يعني, or guide him. Because that is mocking what? Ibadah. Going out to sight the moon is a ibadah. That do we have to all of us, every one of us going to sight it? No. This is wajib kifai. It's like a funeral prayer. Communal obligation. If you trustworthy go out, khalas. And that's why the sheikh you find Ibn Qudama says that if one person sights the moon and he comes to the Wali al-Amr and he says to him, I sighted the moon, khalas. If he accepts his shahada, his Ramadan starts. We'll talk about it. So, the first one is the completion of Ramadan. The second one to see and sight the Hilal. To see the crescent, the Hilal. And then here he said, وَوُجُودُ غَيْمٍ أَوْ قَتَرٍ لَيْلَةَ الثَّلَاثِينَ يَحُولُ دُونَهُ. He said, the sight, he said, or the presence of clouds on the night of the 30th of Sha'ban that prevents its sighting. What does it mean? I mean, when the night of the 30, which next day is what? Ramadan. When it's a cloud, khalas, next day is Siyam. Tayyib. The difference between point 1 and point 2. Point 1, it's telling you Kamal Sha'ban. Yani when point 1, when Sha'ban is complete. And you already passed 30 days of Sha'ban. The following day is 31. Sah? The second point we said sighting the Hilal, the crescent. The third one is, next day it's either 30 Sha'ban or first Ramadan. Next day, 30 Sha'ban or first Ramadan. The vast majority of the ulama, they say, khalas, the next day is Yawm al-Shak, the day of doubt, you're not allowed to fast, and the following day is Ramadan. Araf? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. Fast when you see it, and unfast when you see it. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. When it is a cloudy, means فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ, mean counted for the following day. And in another narration, he said, فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ 30. And when it is a cloudy, complete the iddah, which is 30 days. Of course, since we're studying from a Hanabila book, it's fair to mention some of their opinion. The Hanabila here said, يعني, Madhab Imam Ahmad, they said, فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ مِنْ count Sha'ban to be 29 days. And this opinion, of course, the majority is against it. What does it mean? It means, next day, the 30th of Sha'ban or the 1st of Ramadan. They say, if it's cloudy, this month, count it 29 and next day is fasting. But the ulama, the vast majority, they called it the day of doubt, Yawm al-Shak, and it is haram to fast that day. Because it is not 20, it is not 30, and it is not first of Ramadan. It is the day of doubt. And the wisdom behind not fasting it, because it's going to split the ummah. It's going what to do? Split the ummah. Some would say, now we're going to fast, and the other ones say, now we are going to fast. Since it is a day of shak, the ulama, the vast majority say, you're not allowed to fast that day, and then first of Ramadan. And that opinion of the Hanabila is rejected by the vast number of the scholars. In the hadith, Amr ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he said in the hadith, يعني it's collected by Abu Dawood, he said, من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم. Whomever fasts a day that is, whomever fasts the day that is doubtful, he indeed disobeyed Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet. وَإِذَا رَأَى الْهِلَالَ وَحْدَهُ صَامْ. Here he said, if one Muslim alone sees the crescent, he should fast. One person, and this actually come to the core of the issue we're talking about. One person, you've seen the Hilal. You went to your jama'ah, the mashayikh, or in an Islamic country, you went and said, أُقْسِمْ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, I saw the moon. I saw the crescent. Then here the imam, he looks at you and says, you're a trustworthy person, and announced the month of Ramadan. Or if you're not trustworthy, he says, your shahada is rejected. Tayyib, but you are sure beyond doubt that you've seen it. And the imam does not accept your shahada. What do you do? And here he said, Ibn Qudama, he said, you fast by yourself, but you don't cause a fitna. And that's why we use this and we say, if your jama'ah, your group of brothers that you are with all the time, and the mashayikh that you take knowledge from, they said to you, of course, they're using one of the two opinions, not the calculations, because the calculation, you can't use it. But one of the two opinions, they are on the opinion, Australia and the surrounding countries, you feel that you don't want to take that opinion. But you are part of your big family, and the big family, all of it with that opinion. Then, according to what Ibn Qudama says, and we derive from where he says, you fast and you keep quiet. You don't cause a problem amongst the family. You just keep it between you and yourself. And you don't start ringing, bro, follow that opinion, and bro, and SMSs. No. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because last year, some brothers got too excited and accused big ulama overseas with lying and deception. And there was no lying and there was no deception. There's mashayikh who trust them and they cited the moon. Some of them would trust them yani with everything. They cited the moon. They said, wallahi, we've seen it. And someone says, send an SMS. He said, no. Whomever tells you they sighted the moon, they're lying. I said, did you investigate? Tayyib. Here he said, wahdahu. But what is better, a group of ulama following the hadith which is collected by Tirmidhi and Nabagawi and Sanad is Hasan, as-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas wal-fitru yawma yuftirun. The fasting, in when the people fast, and the unfasting is, or you break your fast, when the people break their fast. If your people, the jama'ah you with, they fast on that day, even if you adopt a different opinion, as long as their opinion is valid, it's better to follow jama'at al-muslimin. Follow who? Jama'at al-muslimin. If their opinion is a fiqh, a valid opinion, not based on calculation, then you follow jama'at al-muslimin, because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas. The fasting is when people fast, wal-fitru yawma yuftirun. And the fitr is the day where they unfast. At this, inshallah, we stop. We take question and answers, because the hadith lahu baqiyya. Yani there's a continuation and more restriction to this. But just for you to understand that, ya akhi, if you are yani with your brothers, with your family, see if they're following a valid opinion, you follow it and do not cause a fitna like every year. If you believe that your sheikh has a better opinion and you're convinced with it, jazakallah khair, birrul walidain, be nice to your family, don't cause war inside the house. Because last year I had families, father and mother, who are following a different opinion, valid opinion, ringing me and said, our son, he came calling us misguided, calling us this, calling us that. Ya akhi, taqillah. You don't call your parents misguided even if they decided to follow calculation. Even though it's a misguided opinion, still a lot of ulama gave this fatawi that it is allowed, and big ulama too. Yes, we don't agree with it, but have the birr al-walidain. Smile and they tell them, wallahi khalas, you fast. Inshallah, I'm fasting with you. Even if you don't fast, inshallah, drink a little bit of water in the morning and go eat outside, don't eat in the house, just to put a smile on their face. You don't need to prove a point, especially against your family, your father and mother, who love you so much. And at the time of iftar, come and sit with them and eat with them. Even though you're not fasting, bring joy and happiness to their heart. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're your mother and father. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك ان شاء الله للحديث بقيه next week we continue take questions quickly inshallah